of part of our Equip the Saints that we've been doing all year. So the theme for our church this year has been Equip the Saints. And this is the last series, and it's the apostolic stream or the apostolic series, which really makes a lot of sense with what we're doing right now. So we're going to get to that in a moment, but just let me help you. For those of you who need a dad joke, who need humor, I'm starting a flight company exclusively for bald people. I'm going to call it Receding Airlines. And if I've said that before, don't worry, it's okay. I'm a little all over the show today, but the CEO will be Josh Stott, no doubt about that. We love you, Josh. We love you. All right, that's okay, we're good. Magnificent. All right, so let me just introduce really quickly the key idea. So if you're of our Equip the Saints series, what it's all been all about this year. And if you're new to church, this will catch you up. If you've been around a while, this will reinforce what you already know. So this comes out of our scripture, Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And he, capital He, it's Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Everybody say the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. Say ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Say mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal here is that Jesus appoints these roles so that all of us become mature and effective in ministry and the whole church becomes like Jesus. So here's a couple of thoughts that are going to pop down on the screen behind me. So first of all, Jesus has appointed five different ministry gifts for his church. They're often called the fivefold. That's out of Ephesians 4:11. Each one of these five is an expression of Jesus. So these are five expressions of the person of Jesus. Jesus is an apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd. He's the good shepherd, teacher. Those appointed ministers are gifts to the body of Christ to equip the saints for ministry and maturity. So they're the appointed gifts. A healthy church is called to be strong in each of these five ministry areas. We've already talked about four this year, but to be strong with teaching and loving the Word of God, to be strong pastorally so people are loved and feel cared for by one another, be strong in the Word of God so that's strong evangelistically, so we're winning lost people, strong prophetically, so we're hearing the voice of God and worshiping, and ultimately strong in the apostolic, which we'll talk about today. Every believer has at least one ministry stream in which they are graced to serve others. There'll be something that fires you up, something that you bear fruit in, maybe something that you get frustrated that this is not happening. That'll be a good indicator of the stream or the grace that God's placed on your life. And finally, every believer is also called to be mature and more like Jesus. That means we all need to be strengthened in the five ministry expressions of Jesus. We all need to love the Word of God better and know it better. We all need to care and love for one another more. We all need to be soul winners, even if we're not evangelists. We all need to be prophetic so we can hear God and encourage one another. And we all need to be apostolic, which we're going to talk about today. So the word apostolic, it's not used very much in English culture. You don't really outside of the church, do you? You don't hear somebody go, hey, come and meet my good mate, he's an apostle. It's not something if you go to the coffee shop and say, I'd like to have an apostle. They don't know what you're talking about. This is because it's not a common English word. It's not something that we're used to. It's a little like baptism. Baptism was a Greek word. Baptizo was a Greek word. We're baptizing people today. And there's never been an equivalent word from the Greek word baptizo, so we still use the word baptize because it has a spiritual connotation. And really, its original meaning was to, you'd take a piece of cloth, you'd soak it and immerse it in some water, and it would change color. And that what you were doing to that piece of cloth was baptizoing it. So we use that same word today for eight people who are going to get baptized, immersed, changed, and transformed. And so the word apostle, actually is a Greek word. And the New Testament was written in Greek. And so the original Greek word was apostolos. Everybody say apostolos. Apostolos. And apostolos, for the Greeks, was originally a navy term. It was a navy term. We've got a photo of a Greek navy ship just to put up behind me. So an apostolos was a naval envoy sent out by a Greek ruler or city on a city-state mission. So the apostles. Now, I did think about, I found a great photo from the movie Troy of a Greek sailing ship with Brad Pitt, but I just thought that would be way too distracting for everybody. Like, if I put up Brad Pitt, and Teresa's just going to be off in the fairies for the rest of the service, all right? So I didn't do that. I'm just keeping a safe ship up there for everybody. And so this is what would happen. A city-like state, maybe the city of Athens or the city of Corinth, would commission a navy fleet, and they would send it on an apostolic expedition with official authority. Usually the commander of that ship would be called the apostolos. They would be called the apostle. Sometimes the whole fleet would be called an apostle or an apostolic team. And so the city would send them. They would have a specific purpose. Maybe they were going to establish a new colony of that Greeks that would have the same rules, the same culture, the same language, and they'd send the navy fleet out to take territory. Maybe it would be to secure trade routes. Maybe it would be to respond to a diplomatic crisis. They would be looking to extend or expand the city's reach or bring back goods, people, or treaties. The apostle, the commander and the fleet, the apostle carried the full weight and authority of the sending government. They came with that full weight, that full authority. They had the backing of the military. Over time, it started out as a naval term, but over time, it actually became a military term. And so if you look at, you know, we watch Gladiator, we've got any Gladiator fans here? Okay, just a few, prepared to admit it. It's a little older one. But the Latin equivalent to an apostolos was a legatus, legatus. And legatus would be a Roman general who would go in the name of Rome to establish new territories, to overtake and overthrow, and eventually establish colonies of Rome or extend the empire around the world. Or another type would be someone like Pontius Pilate, who was ruling over a province. So it was either to take ground or to rule over. This is the meaning of an apostolos. So let's summarize it like this. An apostle was a leader being sent out on a mission with a crew to establish presence on new shores, representing the interests of the empire or the city-state. So before it became a church word, this is the word that everybody who heard it understood it. So when Jesus said, I'm calling you my 12 apostles, they all understood that this is a kingdom expansion term. This is in essence about a group of people who will be sent to take ground. Makes sense today. All right. Kind of a little bit fitting in what we're doing here today, right now. There's an apostolos. Now we're sending Teresa and we're sending her as a team. Does that make her an apostle? Well, that's not so much the deal. It just makes her apostolic. It means that as an apostolic church, and one of the streams of our church is that we're church planting and we're sending people to establish churches in their world. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about we're not just church planting apostolically, but we're also sending people to take the kingdom into the marketplace, into business, into schools, into media, into government, and take the kingdom of God into those areas. In the New Testament, have a guess. How many people were called apostles? Don't shout it out. That might be embarrassing. Let me just tell you. There was 18. 18, who knew that? Give us a wave. Yeah, of course you did. That's great. There was 18 people specifically referred to as apostles in the New Testament. All right. The first one was Jesus. Jesus, because remember the fivefold expressions of Jesus? Jesus was an apostle. We find that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He was the first apostle. We go down and we find that then there was another, he appointed the 12 apostles. So Jesus is the first one. So we find in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. He prayed all night. And from there, he chose 12 whom he named apostles. I can imagine everybody going, ooh, this is cool. They're like generals. They're like naval commanders. These guys, you know what he called us? He called us apostles. This is amazing. What does that mean? It means they're going to get sent, beheaded, and all that other stuff. But at this point, it was exciting. So, don't listen to that, Teresa. When Jesus had called, Luke chapter 9, three chapters later, so he spends a period of time developing these apostles, shadowing them, apprenticing them, getting them all ready, having experiences. And in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. We're going to come back to that because that's a very important part of the apostolic. And he sent them, everybody say sent them. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's a couple of key phrases in what we're looking at right now. One is the kingdom of God. The other is breakthrough in demonic realms. So there's the 12. Then I'm just going to take you through how many were mentioned, and then we'll spin back to what Jesus, the great apostle, did as our example. Then there was Matthias. Matthias got in, Josh and Shekinah, name of your little boy. He got in because Judas went out. We don't need to talk about that. And they decided in Acts chapter 1, verse 25 and 26 to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Ouch. Then they cast lots, and a lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. The last time that the using of lots were used to hear God's voice, because then the Holy Spirit was poured out, and we no longer need to flip coins to work out the will of God. We have the Holy Ghost. Just saying. All right. So then we go again. After Jesus' resurrection, this is what he said. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," because he's an apostle, "I am sending you," because you're apostles. So the whole idea of the apostolic is about sending. It's about a kingdom advancement and taking territory. All right, then we've got Barnabas and Paul. Now, I'm doing a little Bible study this morning. Next week will be more practical, but I want to bring you on this journey. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, okay, in this church. They're not apostles yet. There's prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manion, and Saul. Saul, okay. Saul is either a prophet or a teacher at this point. I'd suggest probably a teacher. That's part of his deal. And so while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, David McCracken prophesied over them. No, that's not required, but you know what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So Paul, or Saul, the teacher at this point, who up until that point, he's been a preacher, he's been called a disciple, a proclaimer of Christ, he's a teacher of Jesus, but he's never been called an apostle. But pretty soon in the next chapter, after being sent to establish new churches, this is what we find Paul and Barnabas are called. Acts chapter 14, verse 14, "And when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul," so now they're apostles. So the apostles aren't just the 12 plus Matthias. Now we've got Barnabas, now we've got Paul. Heard what was happening, and that, it goes on and talks about them. And then the last apostle, number 18, mentioned in the Bible, just for fun, his name was James. He was Jesus' half-brother. He was called James the Just. He wrote the book of James. Imagine growing up as Jesus' younger brother, a little bit of a shadow protection going on there, a little bit of intimidation. But anyway, after Jesus died and was resurrected, he became a believer. Before then, he wasn't a believer. Now he becomes a believer, and he became known as the Bishop of Jerusalem. Okay? History says he was known for his holiness and prayer so much that his nickname became Camel Knees. His knees were like camels because he spent so much time praying. I'm not sure if it was his nickname, but they called him, his knees were like camels. So it'd be a cool nickname, wouldn't it? Here comes Camel Knees. All right. That's what they called him. Eventually, he was martyred in Jerusalem. Now, here's an interesting thing. James never was sent to plant a church. James was the presiding bishop over the Jerusalem church, which was ascending church. So James is a sender or a governor of a church, and therefore he's called an apostle. We're tracking together. That's the 18 apostles. So now we understand, all right, so the apostolic stream in the life of a church is essentially about taking ground. It's essentially an atmosphere, an apostolic church. Now, if you're part of a church that's primarily a pastoral church, the main emphasis of a pastoral church is going to be caring for people and healing people and looking after people. And that's really awesome. But ultimately, if a pastoral church is not part of an apostolic movement, then it's going to actually end up being inward focused without any oomph or emphasis to take ground for the kingdom of God. So not every church is called to be an apostolic church or a sending church, but every church needs to be part of an apostolic network, which is why I love C3. Well, I loved having Pastor Phil here last week, because when he gets up here, you just want to run through the wall and run through the bulls and take territory. And, you know, that's the faith and enlargement of a modern day apostle. How are we going? We're doing all right. So let's think about this then. If Jesus was the first apostle, he was sent by his Father. And so if we're understanding what the naval idea of an apostolos was, a commander of a ship or a military commander sent from the home base to take territory and take the government and to take the values and to take the principles of the home base and establish it into a new base, this is what Jesus did. His Father in heaven said, hey, we're in heaven. There's a culture here. There's values, the kingdom of God, the values are things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. They're fruit of the Spirit, but that's the values of God's kingdom. When you're in God's kingdom and under his rule, then there comes freedom from oppression. And so this is what happened. God says, Jesus, I'm sending you as an apostle, and you're going to take and represent the culture of the kingdom of heaven, so that it's not just, because some people think it's about trying to get as many people to heaven when they die as we possibly can. That's a big part of it. But actually, the apostolic and what Jesus did, he said, don't wait until heaven comes. I'm going to bring heaven to earth. We're going to break through into people's worlds. Are we making sense here right now? We're bringing the kingdom into people's lives. And so Jesus comes, and because it's a kingdom, what happens is a kingdom clash. Because the earth is ruled by a different kingdom. There's two kingdoms. There's not more than two kingdoms in the spirit realm. There's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. They're the two kingdoms. So when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he came and the Bible said he became the prince and the ruler of the world. So at that point, heaven's got 2/3 of the angels and they're on ministering assignments, and 1/3 of them, which are called fallen demons, have come into the world and they're ruling and they're reigning, and their whole point is to stop people from knowing, loving, and worshiping God. Separate them, destroy them. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. That's the point of the kingdom of darkness. And so Jesus comes to earth and immediately a clash begins. Immediately he comes to people and he's representing God, and he comes and the Bible says he lays hand on the sick and they recover. People whose lives are under the rule of darkness, and the consequence when your life is under the rule of darkness is sickness, torment, harassment, lack of peace, greed, covetousness. There's all of these consequences when you're under the kingdom of darkness, and Jesus comes and he begins to bring a message of hope and life, and one by one people are set free and there's a change. Instead of now being under the kingdom of darkness, now they move into the kingdom of light and progressively they get set free. This is, come on, give him some praise. This is what he's doing. He said it like this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. If I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. The message of Jesus, I'm dropping a thought that next year's theme is going to be called Your Kingdom Come. We're actually going to be focused on what it is for the kingdom of God to come into our lives, into our families, into our homes. And so when Jesus came, essentially wherever there was darkness, wherever there was demonic oppression, wherever people, whether they knew it or not, but were under the prince of the power of the air, Jesus came proclaiming, there's a better way. There's a truth. And this is what the Bible says. It's not about eating and drinking. So the idea is that the Old Testament was like, you can't eat this, can't eat that, can't drink this, can't drink that. There was rules. And Jesus came and said, now that's the old, but in the new kingdom, it's not about what you eat and drink. It's about righteousness, being made right with God. Peace and joy. The fruit, when a person comes out of darkness, under the rule of, and it doesn't mean we're seeing demons everywhere around their life, just they're under that kingdom. When we come out of that kingdom, and today we're baptizing people to celebrate, you're coming out of that kingdom. You're coming out of darkness. You're coming out of the rule of demonic powers, and you've made a decision that I'm going to put my faith in Christ, and now I'm in the kingdom of light. And here's what happens. The journey begins of going, all right, wherever there's darkness ruling in a person's life, now we're going to start to see that taken back. I remember praying for Belle here. I see you here, Belle, going to have a baby real soon. It's awesome. Natural church growth. Ben and Belle are a magnificent couple in our church. And Belle was suffering for migraines and headaches for years, right? Almost on the daily, just oppressed by this. And it wasn't just physical. There was an evil spirit source to it. I remember praying for her one day. And here's what the apostolic is all about. It's about pushing darkness off people's lives so that instead of living under oppression and left, instead of living under oppression and torment, they get free. And so as we prayed, this thing just, you could feel when darkness gets confronted by the kingdom of heaven, and this is the apostolic, you feel a shudder. You feel, oh, there's a battle going on. Something's about to move. And I remember on that day and over the next week or so, as Belle just cooperated with God, something shifted. You got healed. The headaches, the migraines went. That's the kingdom of heaven coming into earth. And that's what the apostolic is all about. Whether it's about a church going and planting and fighting spiritual warfare in the spirit realm and doing all these practical things because it's taking territory, that's sent. But in the life of a church, an apostolic church has a breakthrough spirit about it. An apostolic spirit has faith about it. An apostolic spirit is not happy, not content to stay the same. Some of you, you're like right now, you're on fire. You can feel it. Some of you are business people. And I'm not called to preach, but I feel the fire about taking ground. And there's this and I'm actually going to advance the kingdom of God through my business. If you're not in that area, all of us, here's what I would suggest to all of us are called for the kingdom of God to come and be inside us when we invite Christ into our life. If you're here today and you've never let Jesus come into your life, in a few moments there's going to be an opportunity to say yes. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to forgive me and cleanse me, and I want him to be the king. There's a replacement going on because the king before Jesus is you. You're the king or the queen. You're the ruler of your own life. That therefore means the co-ruler of your life is the prince of darkness. And that means the fruit of the co-ruler of your life ultimately ends up with pain, problems, sorrow, greed, selfishness, covetousness, death. That's what happens when you're the king of your life. There's a co-ruler who's the prince. So when we make a decision, say, Jesus, I'm surrendering to you so that you sit on the throne of my heart. And at that point, there's an eviction. And then it doesn't stop until we're free. And here's what happens. Then your home can become an outpost of the kingdom of heaven. So I would encourage every person who owns or rents a home and it's your sphere, I would encourage you, put worship music on and walk around the house and take authority and say, Jesus, this is now part of the kingdom of heaven. Right in this place, we welcome you. We say there's no room for darkness. There's no room for demonic oppression. If your kids have nightmares, you can pray over their pillows and say, well, there's no room for that. And there's a warfare that goes on because you're establishing the kingdom of heaven in your home. Whenever we go to a hotel, we walk into a hotel and we know that we don't know what's going on before us there, so we basically walk through the hotel immediately because sometimes you can just feel a dark presence in a room. And we just walk through the room and we basically say, Jesus, in your name, we cast out every evil spirit that's been or resided in this place. Get out of here now. And we invite the Holy Spirit. You're in us. But right now, this is going to be, for as long as we're staying, this is an outpost of the kingdom of God. Wherever we are, you go to your business, you go to the classroom you teach, you go to the school that you're the principal of, you're the leader, you go to your office, you go to your workplace, you go to the school that you go to, and you're like, Jesus, we want the kingdom of God to come into this sphere, into this realm. The kingdom, this is what Jesus said, the kingdom of suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That means there's something on the inside of us that rises up. I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell. These are great apostolic verses in the Bible. The gates won't prevail. Why? Because we're on the front foot. How are we doing here today, church? Give me a wave if on the inside you're like, oh, this is my language. This is my vibe. All right, we've got some out. You've probably lasted because you're part of an apostolic church. Come on. This is what we're called to do. This, Teresa, is what you're headed to do. You're taking the kingdom of God with all of the team. And obviously the King's Jesus, but you're taking an authority and an anointing that's on this church. This is why what we do is sometimes we send and release pastors, and they, like for Jeremy and Lisa, they wanted to be an autonomous church, and so they've done that, and they're operating, and they're building their own anointing, and doing great, by the way. I spoke to him this a couple of weeks ago. So Jeremy's a former exec pastor who planted in Auckland. And doing great. But then other times what we do is we realize that there is an authority and anointing on this church. And so rather than saying goodbye, you're on your own, what we're doing here is saying we are planting a church. We, through our prayers and through our finances and through our support and the team that we send from here and from down in Melbourne, we're planting a church. Teresa's the commander, the apostolos in this moment. But that's under the authority and the anointing of our house. And so we share resources and we share anointings and we work together, and that's what we're doing. How are we doing? We're doing all right? I want us just to close our eyes right around the room. Taking ground. It was the prophetic promise that God gave to Danielle at the start of this year. Taking ground. Would be a year where we take ground. It's a year where we're planting a church. That's taking ground. It's a year where we're going to sign a contract for some land this year. That's taking ground. That's a faith statement. It's a year of breakthrough. So I want you just to think right now. Where is it in your life that you need to take ground? Sometimes it's in your finances and the devil's on your finances and you've got to aggressively, with a spirit of breakthrough, push him off. Sometimes it's in your health. You got to take ground in the healing realm. And whenever you take ground, it's never just a moment. Often it's a fight. It's persistence. It's prayer. Tonight, Danielle's going to be preaching about taking ground. It's going to be awesome. So you need to take ground in health. Maybe it's relationships, prodigals, broken relationships. You're like, wherever the kingdom of darkness is ruling is an area for us to take ground together. So if you're thinking of an area in your life, I mean, I need the kingdom of heaven to come into this part of my life. Just raise your hand right now. So yeah, there's areas in my life we need the kingdom of God to come. Some areas it's flowing and it's working and it's awesome. Other areas, so Father, I pray. I thank you for your anointing, for your grace, for every person in this room. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Give us faith, courage, and a breakthrough spirit. In Jesus' name, while your eyes are closed today, you're here in this room, and maybe you've never prayed a prayer that says, I want Jesus to be the king of my life and my heart. You were created for a relationship with God. You're created to be connected to God. You might be watching online. This is your moment. If you don't have that connection or that relationship today, it's the day to begin a relationship with Him. It means surrendering. It means repenting and asking for forgiveness for the things we've done wrong. It means putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who came as the Son of God to bring heaven to earth. And He wants to bring heaven into your heart and into your life today. And so if you're here this morning and you've never prayed a prayer, begun a relationship with God, in a moment I'm going to ask you in your seat, if that's you, just to raise your hand and say, that's me. I'd like to begin a relationship with God. I want to invite Jesus into my life. If you have, but something kind of went wrong and you drifted away and you're not walking with God today, you know you're not right with God and you need to come back to Him. In a moment, I'd love to lead you in a prayer, reconnecting with God. I want you to get your peace back. I want you to get your joy back. I want you to get that sense of, I'm right with God back, that you've lost as you've drifted away from Him. Or maybe you're just not sure when you die if you're going to go to heaven. You hope you are, but you're not sure. I'd love to pray for you so that you can have a peace and an assurance in your heart. When you put your faith in Jesus, you're not hoping to get to heaven. His Holy Spirit fills your heart and you know. You have an assurance. So right now, if you're saying, John, I want to begin a relationship with God, or I want to come back to Him because I've drifted, or I want to be sure I'm going to heaven, right now, if you're watching online or in the room, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to begin a relationship with God. Awesome, I see your hand. Thank you so much. Who else right now? Just raise it up. Up the back, mate. Thank you, I see your hand. That's awesome. Who else right now would you just raise your hand if that's you? You're saying, that's me. Today, I want to get right with God. Today, I want to have a confidence I'm going to go to heaven. If that's you, just raise your hand real high. We're going to include you in this prayer. So beautiful. Thank you. You can put your hand down. That's so good. Is there anyone else right now? Would you put it up high? Today, it's a game changer. When you surrender to God, everything changes. Looking around the room, this is your moment. Don't miss it. Your heart will be pounding. Something on the inside. God speaks to our heart. Our mind argues. Thank you. I see your hand. That's awesome. Our mind argues the why not, but in our heart, God speaks to our heart because He loves us and He's drawing us to Himself. Is there anyone else today? Let God's kingdom come into your life. Let Him begin to change things. If you need a fresh start, today's the day of a fresh start. I'm waiting. If there's one more person, would you raise your hand up real high? Say, that's me as well. Join these three who've raised their hand. We're going to pray. All right. Church, would you join me praying with these ones after me? Say these words after me. Dear God in heaven, I thank You that You love me. I thank You You sent Your Son Jesus to die on a cross for me, for my sin. I'm sorry. I turn to You today. I put my faith in You. I thank You that You forgive me. I renounce the devil and all his works. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and the power of God. I thank You today. I'm forgiven, born again, and I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, put your hands together for these people. God bless you. Magnificent. So pleased for you. What I'd love to say, if you raised your hand today, we'd love you to just keep coming to church. You build your relationship with Jesus in community. And so we'd love to help you in that. We also run a course regularly called Alpha, and about 28 million people have done that course all around the world. And we run that regularly. We'd love you to just to do that, to find out more about Jesus, about Christianity, about faith. We run it regularly. One of our team will be in touch with you. So church, we love you. Can't wait for these baptisms real soon, but we've got a few things to do. Kat.